You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Well, let me pray and get us warmed up and going this morning. Father, I just thank you for every single person that is tuning into this broadcast today, whether they are watching it live in the Path to Purpose group or they're catching it on the podcast. I thank you that they are here by divine appointment. And I thank you that this topic is a really, really important one, Father. It is one that, oh my goodness, you have taught me over the course of my walk with you for many, many years. And it is a powerful concept. It's a powerful principle. And it's the principle of not having a plan B, Father. And I thank you that with you, a plan B is not necessary. I thank you, Father, that as we get on your agenda and we seek you first, I thank you, Father, that you promise to provide everything that's needed to fulfill our destiny. And I thank you, Father, that it's a good destiny. It's a good plan, that you've actually prepared paths ahead of time, that we would walk in them and live the good life that you prearranged and made ready for us to live. I thank you that everything we need has already been provided through our union with Jesus, that we are joint heirs, that we are co-heirs of the kingdom. And I thank you, Father, that we are designed to walk the earth the same way that Jesus did, in union with you. And that as we follow your lead and we follow your instructions and are led by the Spirit, I thank you, Father, that we have the victory in every situation. I thank you that love never fails. And so therefore we never fail. You always cause us to triumph. So Father, strengthen us today, encourage us today, correct us in some ways that maybe we aren't even aware that we need to be corrected, you know, restore our vision. Thank you that we are as perfect as Jesus. And so Father, anything that would hinder our ability to hear from you, to follow you, I just thank you, Father, that you're cutting that thing off at the root today and that we are operating as sons of God in the earth. And we are expanding your kingdom in partnership with you through our union with Jesus. And I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. So awesome, you guys. This series is coming, I feel like, at a really strategic time. I know it is in my life, and I am just believing that it's coming at a strategic time in the body of Christ and in your life as well. You know, I chose this topic, going all in, and the foundation scripture from Matthew 6:33, because it's a really, really powerful thing when you are fully surrendered, fully surrendered to God's plan and purpose for your life. And I can tell you, I can look back in my own life as, you know, someone who was on the path to discovering their purpose and really living, you know, independent from God, independent from my union with Jesus. I mean, you know, mostly out of ignorance. I didn't really have a grasp of the gospel or my union with Jesus or my identity in Christ. So, you know, I was just following the best, you know, I guess advice that was given to me and doing my very best to, you know, be a successful human being. You know, I kind of followed the same path that a lot of people follow, right? You go to school and you go to college and you get a job and you just try to kind of figure out, you know, how you're going to support yourself. And, you know, thankfully I was actually really successful, you know, in my corporate career prior to fully surrendering to God. But I can tell you that I was also completely off course. Now, does God use all of that? 1,000%. And was it preparation and training for everything that I'm doing that is a part of my purpose? Absolutely. God works all things together for good. But I can really, really tell you there was a big, big difference when I fully, you know what I mean? When I say fully, I mean totally surrendered my life to God. And, you know, in Emerge and the coaching that I do, I kind of describe it this way, and I'm sure I've described it on the podcast in the past, about really just laying down your life for God. I mean, Jesus laid down his life for us. But honestly, it's not just, you know, this message about so that we can go to heaven after we die and experience, for, you know, forgiveness of sins, which is just like the Western evangelical presentation of the gospel. Like, the gospel is not a message about the afterlife, although it includes the afterlife. It's about eternal life, which starts right now. And each of us have been born with a purpose. Each of us has the potential of Christ in us. And it is a very unique reason that you were born, and you have been given gifts, and you have a call of God on your life. There's no exclusion to that. And I think sometimes as Christians, we think that being a Christian is, you know, just doing Christian activities and going to church and reading our Bibles and praying and, you know, maybe, you know, evangelizing and, you know, fulfilling the Great Commission. And I'm not coming against necessarily any of those things, but they are very generic and they are not personal. I mean, God knows you personally. God designed you specifically. And he designed you for a reason. You are strategic. You are a part of the body of Christ. And it takes the body of Christ in its position and doing its part, if you will, for the head to be able to move and do what, it, in fact, Jesus as the head wants to do. And so what I find is really tragic. I mean, it was tragic in my own life. I mean, even, you know, when I didn't know my purpose and I was not living out what God had called me to do, I absolutely knew something was missing. I mean, it was like, you know, no matter what you did, you couldn't find a sense of fulfillment, no matter, you know, who you're married to, no matter what job you have, no matter how much money you make, you know, how many kids you have, like there just feels like something is missing. And I do believe that there is something missing. It's the actual purpose of your life. I mean, what is the purpose? What's the reason? And obviously, we are here to glorify God. Obviously, we are here to know Jesus. Obviously, we are here to experience union with God. I mean, there are, you know, our true identity in Christ is like the foundation for us to really even be able to discover and live our purpose. But what I really want to talk about today is that a lot of people are just going through the motions. I mean, they aren't necessarily in the assignment that God has for their life, whether that is, I mean, you know, being a mother. I mean, that is an assignment from God that has a season, that has a time for it. And if you are called into that season, like I'm not saying that you have to be doing something humongous to expand the kingdom, but there is preparation and training through every single assignment that we have from God. And I feel like I talk to people day in and day out that are really very unfulfilled in whatever that they are doing, whether it is a job that they feel like they're just doing for a paycheck to, and they're just living in this paycheck cycle where they're just living to pay their bills, or they feel like, man, there is so much more that I'm capable of that is not, that I'm not expressing, that there is a dream in my heart to, you know, own real estate or have a business or write a book or perform in the arts or something. Like there are things that we are truly anointed by God to do. And too many times we are trapped in a version of our lives and frankly, a version of our identity that does not it's not synchronized with our destiny and with the plan of God on our lives. And ultimately that will lead to a sense of dissatisfaction. And so, you know, I based this series on the scripture from Matthew 6:33, which is really about selling out completely to the call of God on your life. I mean, all of Jesus's disciples were confronted with this phrase, follow me. And for some, you know, for some of them, that meant leaving their, you know, position and their job and their business. I mean, the tax collector had to stop being a tax collector, Matthew, right? I mean, Peter left his nets, left his boats to go follow Jesus. I mean, so there is a surrendering of our life and honestly, even our livelihood to God when we are fully sold out to our plan and to our calling. And in Matthew 6:33, it says it like this. If I read it just in the New King James Version, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. In other words, that when you are on, when you recognize that you are in the kingdom, when it says seek the kingdom, it means be aware of the kingdom, be aware that you're in the Father's business, be aware of his righteousness, be aware of your identity in Christ. And when we are fully surrendered to God's agenda and seeking first what he wants to do through our lives, well, it says here, there's a promise that all of the other things that we were seeking out as quote unquote Gentiles, right? Just working in the world system and looking for our own efforts to provide. Well, there's a supernatural exchange that happens when we surrender ourselves to God. He totally surrendered himself for us, and now we are surrendering to him. And that is truly, I mean, to me, Jesus, and I mean, there's so many other examples I could talk about in scripture, but Jesus truly came to earth for a specific reason. And I believe that every human being is called and has the potential to live the exact same way. And Jesus lived a certain way. He lived in union with the Father, and he was committed to fulfilling the work that God gave him to do. In John 17, and about verse 3 or 4, it says, you know, Father, I have glorified you here on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And that goes right in alignment with Matthew 6:33. We know that Jesus was supernaturally provided for, not only for himself, but for his disciples and for the multitudes. In fact, he was living supernaturally day in and day out. It doesn't mean that he didn't have provision. You know, he had a treasurer. So obviously he had some savings and some provision, but he also could just pull the fish out of the coin out of the fish's mouth. And he could also tell the boys to let down their nets for a great catch. And so he was living by supernatural provision. Why? Because he was in union with the Father. He was being led by the Holy Spirit, and he was doing what he saw the Father doing. You know, one of my key scriptures for life, in fact, it's the foundation for really my calling, my ministry, my business here. And it's John 5:30. And it's in the Voice translation. And here's what it says. This is Jesus talking. He says, I have not ever acted and will not in the future act on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me, and I act on these divine instructions. For this reason, my judgment is always fair and never self-serving. I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own, you know. And this scripture, you know, has been a really important scripture in my life for many, many years, because I really feel like that when we supernaturally follow God and we hear his instructions and we are led by the Spirit, well, guess what? We enter into the miracle zone, and we enter into the place where walking out our destiny is going to happen, right? But you know, we also, what I want to say, like walking out the plan of God on your life really means not having a plan B. You know, I describe this, I describe it in Emerge, I describe it in the people that I coach, is it's almost like you're giving God a blank piece of paper, and you are signing your name at the bottom of that piece of paper, and you are saying, Jesus, I'm giving you all of me. I'm giving you my time. I'm giving you my talents. I'm giving you whatever I could claim as my own, my money, my savings. I'm giving you all of me, and you have permission. I'm yielding my body as a living sacrifice, and I'm giving you permission to glorify yourself to the maximum extent in my life. You know, and I actually heard that, you know, that analogy about the paper, honestly, at a Joyce Meyer conference. And I came home from that conference, I mean, knowing that I was not on God's agenda. I had no idea what God's agenda was, but I came home. I mean, I took off all my clothes. I mean, I just was like so done. And I really did not know who I was in Christ. I had so many problems, and I had so many things that were that needed to be healed in my life. I was not even confident that God could even use me. You know, I just laid down and said, all I've got to give is you. But if there's something that you can do with me, then do it, because I'm really done driving the bus, because where I'm driving it is frankly not working. And unfortunately, it takes a lot of us to get to that place in life where we recognize that our own agenda and the things that we are trusting in besides God just aren't God, right? And so at some point they just get exhausted, and it's almost like you get hemmed in, and you just realize that every other plan besides God's plan is a dead end or a cul-de-sac or totally unfulfilling. And so coming to this place where you are committed to pursuing God's agenda, committed to pursuing his plans and his purposes for your life is the beginning, really, of actually living. It's the beginning of a supernatural life. It's the beginning of God being God in your life. And it's the end of independence. It's the beginning of dependence. And dependence is how Jesus totally lived. You know, it says in John 7, you know, his teaching wasn't his own, but it was his, you know, who sent him. It was the Father's. His words were not his own. In John 14, you know, John 8, he didn't even come of his own initiative. In John 5, I just read it, he doesn't do anything of his own initiative. I mean, Jesus affirmed repeatedly that his source of life was was Papa. His source of direction was Papa. And he lived in this place of the total surrender and union with Jesus. I mean, union with Papa, even when it was difficult. I mean, when Jesus was, you know, sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was about to go to the cross. I mean, it's not always easy to follow the plan of God. But, you know, he just prayed the prayer, not my will, but yours be done. And it is a valid prayer. It's a prayer of consecration. It is a prayer of surrender, once again, of your life and your agenda and your plan and your fear and your lack of trust and your unbelief to the Father. You know, there are lots of things in our lives that we did not decide, even really before we were born. You know what? None of us chose who our parents would be. None of us chose where we would live, right? Where we would grow up. I mean, those decisions were made for us. And in Acts 17, you know what? God made those decisions. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, I've had to come to terms with that. It's like, you know, I'm adopted. I had a lot of trauma in my life. And, you know, how could this be God's plan? You know, I was conceived in an adulterous affair by my birth parents. I mean, like, there was a lot of things that seemed like, wow, how could this be determined by God, you know? But the truth is, everything about our lives, including our upbringing, including the experiences that we've been through, God shapes and fashions and forms into us as he even heals us from those things. And they actually become the very things that qualify us to fulfill our purpose. I mean, a great, you know, case in point is the Apostle Paul. I mean, here he was the Pharisees of Pharisees. He didn't have the birth that I had. He had like the perfect lineage, right? But yet his calling was basically to get off your lineage, to get off of the system of religion and Judaism, right? And it was to introduce the concept of grace. And so his familiarity with the law and being a Pharisees of Pharisees actually made him the perfect candidate to understand how Jesus fulfilled all of that and how the gospel of the cross actually was the undoing of his old identity and his old performance-based legalistic religion and view of God. And so it all works together for good. You know, I put this scripture down in Acts 17, verse 27, 28, that I think is pretty powerful related to this point. It says this, that from one man, he made every nation of men and women, by the way, right? Adam and Eve, there was two of them. It took Adam and Eve to make every person. Obviously, the Bible's written by men. Anyway, another point. It says that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. It says God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You know, this is a really powerful scripture. It says that, you know, it was God's plan, I mean, to propagate the earth with mankind, even so much so that he set the times for each person and he determined where they would live. So you are not an accident. You know what? You were separated from your mother's womb, just like the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, to be not only, you know, holy and blameless before the foundation of the world from Ephesians chapter 1, to be chosen in him, to be live in union with him, but for a specific purpose, right? Paul says he was separated from his mother's womb for his purpose. And, you know, and that Jesus, when he was unveiled in him, that God unveiled Jesus in him. And he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he had a heavenly vision. He had an encounter with God that revealed his purpose, which is always how our purpose gets revealed. It's through revelation. And so I just want to say, like, you are not an accident. God is mindful of you. He knows your plan, the plan that he has for you. He knows where you were born. He knows where you are. And he knows how to get you where you're going. The question is, are we fully surrendered? And are we really? I mean, when I say really, I mean, you know, we can think that we are. But the thing about being fully surrendered to God is that it is truly this process of revealing the giants in our own heart and the things that we trust in more than God and our unbelief that God is actually who he says he is and that he is a really, 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 right? Good Abba. that he is faithful, that he is all of the traits of the fruit of the Spirit, that his love never, never fails, and that we can trust him. And so, you know, I got a question from one of my Emerge graduates today in our Emerge grad group, and I wanted to, honestly, I said I would address it on the podcast today, and I just wanted to because it's such a good question. I think it's something that we have a lot of people ask, right? And then I'm going to go more into some things about our desires and how that plays into the will of God. But here's the question. It says, something that I've been contemplating. We come to the Lord and we ask him to direct us and direct us. How much input do we have? And I'm not going to give the specifics here, but in my case, I don't want to live where I live anymore. And I would like to sell my house at some point in the near future. So I'm basically asking for thoughts on where do you draw the fine line between what you want to do and what the Lord wants to do. So I said, first of all, this is an amazing question. And I think that it applies not just to where we live, but I think it applies to just about everything in our lives. And I can tell you that in my own life, this has absolutely played out. And I have a whole list of things that I'm going to share with you guys today about how I have been led by the Spirit into the place that I am in my life right now, down to the exact house and down to the exact city and down to the exact place that I live. You know, honestly, who my husband was, how many children I have. Like, there's a lot that I have walked through practically with God. And I want to say that intimacy is everything. Hearing God's voice is everything. How can we follow someone that we can't see or hear with our five physical senses? Well, we've got to engage our spiritual senses, and we've got to have an actual union, intimate relationship with God. We have to know him. And as we know him, we grow in our trust of him. And he leads us into paths that he knows are going to cause us to depend and trust in him more, right? And so, yes, we have desires, and there's all kinds of scriptures. You know, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You know, we are, delight yourself in the Lord and he will fulfill desires of your heart. But here's the thing. When we really are surrendered to God and we really are aware of our union with God and we are abiding in that union with him, well, guess what? Our desires are merged and his desires become our desires and our desires are his desires. Like, there's no separation. And you can even see in the question here how there's like the separation. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have an independent will. We have an old man. I mean, you know what? And that thing rises up. Those programs rise up and we can have a battle of wills in a sense. I mean, even Jesus had to surrender his will or his plan, right? And say, I'm just going all in to what you have, Father. But I wanted to read a scripture in the Mirror Translation. I mean, I've actually did a whole conference on this scripture one time. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful scripture that I feel like answers this kind of question about desire and how our desires and God's desires can mold together and into this beautiful dance and this beautiful marriage, frankly. It's just like a husband and wife. How do they make decisions? Well, they make them together. Like, all decisions are made together, and you know, they share desires and they come to conclusions together. So I have a lot of examples I want to share with you today about this, but let me just read the scripture. It's in John 15, verse 7 and 8. And here's what it says. It says, "My words find voice in you. With your abiding in me and my words abiding in you, a conversation is inspired." Wow, that's good. My words find voice in you. With your abiding in me and my words abiding in you, a conversation is inspired. So we're going to start to have some inspired conversations with God. And it says, where you will request that which is arising from you in your desire from our union, and it shall come to pass for you. So let me say that again. A conversation is inspired where you will request that which arises in your desire from our union, and it shall come to pass for you. In verse 8, it says, these union-inspired desires bear the very fruit that endorses the Father's glory. This is where true discipleship is born. Now, our desires are really, really powerful. powerful. And I absolutely believe that God leads us through our desire when we are totally surrendered to Him and in this place of intimate conversation where we are really, we are seeking first the kingdom. We do want God's plan. We do, but yet we also have these desires. And so it's like this place of like, okay, how am I sifting through what I want versus what you want? And I can tell you, I call it a holy dissatisfaction. And I do believe that the desires of our heart are really important to God. I believe the dreams that we have for God. In fact, in Emerge, we do this whole dream storming exercise where I force people into this dreaming mode where they have to come up with 100 desires and dreams for their lives. And I don't just mean holy things. I mean, hey, I want to ride a camel in Egypt, right? I mean, God has created life for enjoyment. God's beautiful. God's created beauty. God has created all things for us to, you know, freely enjoy. But at the same time, I mean, this beautiful relationship that we have with God is also about fulfilling our potential and doing, you know, being a blessing to other people and not just living this self-centered life where we're just, you know, I don't know, self-absorbed and we aren't really in the place, which honestly, true fulfillment comes as we give and we bless others. I mean, not at our own expense, not in an unhealthy way, but in a beautiful way, the way Jesus did. I mean, he balanced his intimacy with God and, you know, just this massive call on his life. He loved people. And loving your neighbor as yourself is just this beautiful life. The fruit of the Spirit is a beautiful disposition and internal world. But your desires and God's desires absolutely can map up and mirror, okay? As you walk through with intimacy with God and you truly do have inspired conversations with him. I mean, I learned to journal years ago in therapy. Now, granted, I wasn't having two-way conversations with God, but I at least was having a conversation about my inner world with myself. Like that was a big step. Now, I did talk to God in my journal. I just didn't really hear him talk back. And it was mostly me just being confused and feeling guilty and ashamed and condemned. I mean, no wonder I couldn't really hear God. I didn't know my new identity in Christ, but I was being led by the Spirit because honestly, I was seeking, I wanted something different. And I remember just making my purpose until I found my purpose. And I looked around and I saw so many people in the same boat. And so even though I wasn't necessarily having those inspired conversations yet, I was bearing my heart to God. I was totally opening up myself and being honest with myself and honest with God. I mean, that is what intimacy is. It's holding nothing back. I mean, God already knows it, but the question is sometimes we don't know it. We don't know. I mean, many are the plans in a man's heart, right? We just don't even understand our own world, you know? But as we stay surrendered and we stay in a place of God, not my will, I really know that you want the best for me, probably better than I know what is best for me. Well, then as you have these conversations, your desires will become one. So let me just give some examples here. I mean, very, very early in my walk with God, I mean, this was really even before I was hearing God clearly, but I was still seeking God. And it had to do with my marriage and my first marriage and my divorce. And I really felt in my heart that I was supposed to open up my heart for reconciliation, even though there were a lot of issues and I was headed in I felt like I was heading in a different direction with my life and wasn't a place where I wanted to surrender to God. But you know what? It was crazy because as I did that, I was living in Chicago. My ex was living in Texas at the time. And do you know that a total job opportunity opened up for him to move to Chicago? And he made the decision not to do that. Now, here's what I want to say. Like, God has plan Bs. God has ways to deal with whatever in our lives don't work out because of whatever reason. He gives people free will, all of that stuff. And you know what happened? Well, as soon as he decided he wasn't going to do that, you know what? I felt completely released from that marriage. And I mean, I know that that's a hot topic for Christians, and I'm just using it as an example today. I don't want to do a whole big theology around all of this. I just want to say that there was a massive shift in my heart that as I sought the will of God and I went one direction, well, guess what? When there was another person involved and it went a different direction, well, God shifted my heart. It says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And like a river, he twists it and turns it however he wills. And so, I'm just concerned with my heart and what my desires are and where God is leading me. I can't control everybody else. I mean, Jesus told Peter one time when, you know, they were saying that John was going to be there until he returned or whatever. And you know, he looked at him and Peter was like, well, what about John? And Jesus was like, well, what does that have to do with you? You follow me. You know, and so that's just an example of like my heart being turned based upon some other things going on with other people. I want to talk about, really after, when I surrendered to the call of God on my life and I was working in a corporate job. I mean, gosh, I can even talk about when God led me to the nursing home and started, I mean, that's when he's really started leading me into healing ministry. I didn't go volunteer at nursing homes. That was not something I did, but I got led there. And then guess what? I got led out of corporate. I mean, there was some holy dissatisfaction in that position for me. I had a sense that I was called to something greater, but I didn't know necessarily what it was. I knew there was some ministry in it, but I didn't fully, I mean, I was doing ministry every day in corporate. Like I didn't need to leave my job necessarily to be doing what I was doing. I mean, I was ministering to people on the street. Like, I mean, I was healing the sick. Like I was all, I could have done my job right there. You know what I mean? Except that was not the will of God. And I also was thinking, oh, it almost became painful to stay in that job. So I had this desire to leave, but I was also fully surrendered to God's timing for that. And I walked through some pretty crazy things towards the end of my time in corporate. I mean, my mother got diagnosed with cancer. She ended up passing away. I got put on this plan by my boss who, I mean, I had always been like one of the top performers. And I mean, so my job was in jeopardy. My mother was dying and I was standing in faith for, it was an enormous amount of pressure. At the same time, God was like jumbling my words in meetings so that I would just like learn to depend on other people and not just myself. And so it's like, I couldn't even talk straight when I was in corporate meetings with people. And so I would just have to be quiet and let other people, it was like, he was supernaturally showing me his ability to even provide for me without me having any contribution. I mean, I remember walking around the building at PeopleSoft, like just like I'm, you know, because I was about to lose my job and I'm trying to go, you know, all this stuff. And God totally turned that situation around. And I'm telling you, people started calling me for orders. I ended up the very top salesperson in the whole division or whatever. And right, I mean, I ended up winning all of these awards and all these things, and they were going to give me a trip and all this stuff. And I remember the very day that God said, "Now walk in and walk out." And I'm like, "Well, you mean put in my notice?" He said, "No, you walk in and you walk out. Today's the day." And you know, even that was like, oh my gosh, like I gotta do this by faith. I mean, I had a very expensive life. I was living down in the city in the Gold Coast in Chicago. I had an apartment, I mean, a huge condo. I had all of these things that required a very large amount of money to live every month. And yet here he is calling me out without necessarily knowing how that was all gonna work out. You know, he told me very specifically to apply for this. He said, apply for this position. It was like an administrative position at Living Word with Bill Winston. I mean, I didn't even have a resume. And he's like, well, you better get one together. And you know, they tried to hire two people before I got that position, but yet it was my assignment. And then guess what? I was like, okay, I've sold my condo. I mean, I gave it all away. Like I knew that I was leaving it all to follow Jesus. And I remember having a declaration because I was declaring things in agreement with God. And I was like, you know, oh, a guy's going to buy this thing and they're not going to want to come in and change the paint colors and all this stuff. Like, it's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. And guess what? A guy came in with a cash offer who was a dentist. But the thing was, he wanted to buy the condo and then all of my furniture and everything. So I was like, whoa, I better be careful what I'm actually declaring, because I did end up leaving it all. And I moved into this little extra bedroom of a friend. I mean, I didn't even have a closet. I had like my Armani suits hanging on a clothes rack. You know, I was in, I mean, I was calling on CEOs and corporate and stuff. And so, you know, don't need to go into all that. But the point is that talk about leaving it all, not having a plan B. Right. And I moved, where I lived revolved around my purpose. I moved and sold my condo and I moved, you know, 5 minutes away from where God had called me to serve and where God, the next assignment was on my life. You know, I walked into that place and he was like, you know, you need to sow and grow. Like I knew my marching orders. And then towards the end, he's like, you got to work yourself out of a job. You got to leave this place better than when you came in. And, you know, for many, many years after I left, the things that I set up, they were still using. I mean, I'm sure it's all outdated now, but the point is that I was being led step by step by step. I mean, I was called to Colorado in a series of open visions. And I mean, it took me about 9 months to really process that and come to terms with God. Like, you're really calling me to move, to leave this job and my spiritual dad who I loved. And I had such a fruitful ministry there. And it was such a powerful time in my life, signs and wonders. And, you know, I could tell you about Brian. I mean, literally, I don't have time to tell you how my life has been a supernatural walking out of the plan of God since I fully surrendered to God back in 2003. And I have been living the scripture. And I mean, this isn't about me. I just want you to understand, you know, Paul said, follow me while I follow Christ. So in a sense, it's like this is not theory in my life. Like, I have, you know, moved cross country without connections and jobs and watched God provide places to live and pick every single house that we lived in down to the street name, and then watch him in an instant, you know, call us back to Chicago and watch him turn my heart and twist and turn the river, right, of my heart and watch those desires shift in an instant. You know, I remember walking down the mall when I lived in Colorado Springs, and from like Dillard's to Macy's, which were two stores in that mall, it's like all of a sudden the desire for another baby was dropped into my heart. I wasn't ready. And then all of a sudden, whoa, I'm going to have another baby. And this massive desire for a baby welled up in my heart. You know, guys, I had serial miscarriages. I mean, it was it felt like a battle when I had babies. And so committing to that, you know, internally was like, okay, you got to prepare for that. But then I remember being in a service one time and this prophecy coming forth that God has need of this child. There's a pregnant woman here. And I knew it was me, and I fell out in the spirit. Like, I knew my second baby was here for a reason and that the timing of it was significant. I mean, I can tell you when it was time to move back to Chicago, I was preaching here at a church and in between services, walking back from the ladies' room. And just God spoke to me, it's time to come back to Chicago. And my first response was, I rebuke that. Get behind me, Satan. Because I loved the mountains. I had been in a season, 14 years of living in the mountains and God's beauty and a slow pace. And so there was nothing in my heart in that moment that felt like, wow, this is God. But I just sought the Lord. I came and I journaled and I said, Lord, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense to me. He didn't give me anything more specific than I need you to move back for a myriad of reasons. And I finally just lifted up my hands, which I will do when I get to the place of, God, I don't know what to do. And I'll be like, you know what? My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I've been paid for with a preciousness, Father. I just surrender myself. I surrender to you. And I just go into this place of just releasing it to Jesus. And do you know that within literally 15 seconds, it was like, whoom, the desire shifted. And I was like, excited. Oh my gosh, we're going back to Chicago. Wow. Called my husband. He was on board. I was like, I didn't see that coming. Called my kids. They were so excited. I was like, wait a second. Things just shifted so fast. And I was hearing that in April. We were here by August, like very, very quickly. And you know, I mean, is that radical? Yes, it's radical, but God leads us through our desires, through these union-inspired desires, through this place where, when I'm talking about no plan B, you know what? I didn't have a plan B when I left People's Life. I didn't have a plan B when I sold my condo. I didn't have a plan B when I moved to Colorado. I didn't have a plan B when I moved back, and I don't have a plan B now, right? I mean, so many times we're like, but I want to say this. I mean, you know what we're like. We're confused and we're scared and we're all these things. But I guess what I want to say is that time and time again, the decisions that God has been leading me into have required not only just faith, but they've required me to confront things in my life, areas in my life where I didn't fully trust God. And guess what? Money is a big one for all of us. I mean, it's a really big one. How am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How am I going to pay, you know, for my gas? Like all of these things. How am I going to get groceries? Like, I mean, we are terrified of following Jesus because of the fear that we are going to run out, that lack is going to rule our lives. And so it's almost like we'd rather toil and at least know that we're safe and that we can at least depend on something other than actually believe that God is who he says he is. But I have had guarantee after guarantee after guarantee that when we follow God, he is faithful. And that when we hear God, he works it out supernaturally. Now, I get it when other people are involved. Sometimes there are some twists and turns on the journey. But I can also guarantee that the giants that we that are holding us back and causing us to be fearful and distrust God, because for a lot of reasons, I mean, number one, we've had crappy theology in church that, you know, I mean, God, if you don't confess every sin and you die with one unconfessed sin, you're going to hell. I mean, that's a terrifying thing. Like, you got to keep track of your sins. When yet it says in 1 Corinthians 13, God doesn't keep a record of wrongs, that he separated our sins as far as the east from the west. Like, there's contradictions. We hear what people think and what people say, and it can be really confusing, you know? And then you've just got all the background and ways that people have betrayed you or people have let you down. We've got, you know, crappy images of authority figures because, man, they weren't trustworthy. Maybe we didn't have a great upbringing. Maybe, you know, we came, our home was filled with all kinds of drama and even violence and abuse or whatever. And so we just have all of these things, these strongholds internally that cause us to feel not safe. And we just not sure if we can actually trust God. Right. But not having a plan B is really about just saying, no matter what, I'm trusting you. And no matter what, I am not going to be tempted to move away from who you say you are. And is this easy? Absolutely not. Is it simple? Yeah, it's hear and do. And it's trusting God through relationship and intimacy that, guess what? He's going to shift your desires. And we can actually listen to our desires, right? When there's that holy dissatisfaction or this desire. I mean, I always had a desire to live in the mountains. In fact, Brian and I would always say the first time we were here in Chicago, it was like, you know, we just kind of knew it was temporary, something in the back of our heart, like never let us settle down and put down roots. I mean, did I know that God was going to be sending me away? No, but did I have a feeling? And then of course, when it was Colorado, there was a desire. And so then I'm kind of like, well, is this selfish to have this desire? But you know what? It wasn't. I mean, there was many experiences, encounters that I had with God that was absolutely his will. That I could, that I was following him in the fulfillment of the call of God on my life. And the same was true when I moved to Chicago the first time and when I moved to the second time. I mean, I can tell you this is really when I wasn't even walking with God. I was still in corporate and I was a mess. And I can tell you the first time that I came to Chicago, and it was previous to me like fully surrendering my life to God. Like, I landed at O'Hare Airport, and it, you know, that feeling you get when you walk into the airport and it's like, wow, I'm home. I mean, it felt like home, even though I had never been there. Like, it was like the home airport feeling. And so God absolutely is leading you internally through your desires. The question is, are we seeking first the kingdom? And are we leaning on our own understanding? Or are we allowing God to direct our paths? Are we trusting in him with all of our heart? And the question, the real honest answer for most of us is no, we're not. And I mean, time and time again, as God and I have worked through the different directions and the instructions that he has led me into, it has revealed to me the areas of my life that I wasn't trusting God and the areas of my life that I wasn't fully in alignment with who I really was in Christ. Like, I really was believing some really, you know, bad things and crappy things about myself. Or I really said, you know, that I trusted God, but when push came to shove, I'm freaking out. I'm triggered. My body is not in peace. I'm in fight or flight and all of those things. And those are opportunities to heal. Those are opportunities to go into a deeper level of intimacy with God. And so God leads you. He doesn't put more on you than you can bear. Although I can tell you sometimes I think, are you sure? Are you sure that I can bear this? Because I'm at my rope's end. I'm at the end of my rope here. Like, I'm extended here. But his grace and his mercy and his goodness has always, always shown up. He is faithful. He says he is who he says he is. And you know, beloved, I'm going to wrap here, but oh my gosh, I have so many examples and I'll just have to keep talking about these. I mean, gosh, I remember one time when I didn't want to move and God was like trying to get me to move. You know, I just didn't want to deal with moving again. And he told me one morning to get up and go look outside. And I went outside and it was a totally blue sky, except there was this one cloud sitting on my property. At the time, we were living at 5 acres in Colorado. This one little weird looking cloud sitting on my property. And God said to me, the cloud is moving, you know? And so he has gotten signs in the heavens, if that is what it's taken for me to follow him. But I can also tell you that to the best of my ability as a human being, I am fully surrendered to the call of God in my life. Like, I left everything else just, I mean, you know, maybe I exhausted all the avenues. It's not like I'm so holy or I'm so good or whatever. I just none of else was working, honestly. It's like, it was almost like I almost didn't have another choice. It's like choose life or death. And I was just done with choosing death because it just felt like hell. And so it's not that I was so holy. It's just that, you know what? It's I got done with the alternative. You know, we think that the things that are safe are actually safe, but they aren't, you know? And I just, over the years, God has been very clear with me that he is not going to allow anything or anyone to manipulate me, that he is going to set me free from fear because he loves me. And it's for freedom's sake that we've been set free. And so all of this is really, at the end of the day, about freedom, freedom from cares, freedom from worry, freedom from toil, freedom to just flow with the Holy Spirit, follow him, trusting the desires of our heart that are his, and living in intimate union with him, with inspired conversations and totally a surrendered heart that he can just mold and, you know, shape and take you into the promised land, into the good life, into the fulfillment of prospering in your purpose and doing the things that you are most fulfilled doing, dreaming with God and watching him lavish you with himself. And then, of course, all of the things that are contained in the kingdom. So there's so much that I could say on this topic. I can tell you that this is something that I live. This isn't something that I'm just preaching out of some kind of, you know, theory or whatever. I mean, heck, I'm in one of these big situations in my life right now where God's got to show up, or you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I will tell you that I'm walking it out right now, and I have no doubt. I mean, I say some days I doubt, but most of the time, because of my history with God, I'm just trusting. I'm trusting God to do what he wants to do and what only he can do in me and through me. So God bless you guys. Again, I probably could have chatted for 3 hours on this, but hey, it's only part two, so we've got more coming. But I love you. I bless you. And I encourage you to make, you know, seeking first the kingdom is really about intimacy. I'll tell you what, knowing him is ultimately all of our purpose, because that's where satisfaction and fulfillment actually come. He truly is the desire of all nations, and he holds all desire in his hand. He is desire. He is. So anyway, if you don't know what to do, just have a conversation with the Lord. I mean, really, just become aware of your union and pray, you know, just pray about it. Trust God. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask. I mean, God gives wisdom liberally. He will confirm. He will chat with you. And God knows if you make a mistake, well, guess what? He will cover that as well. I remember when I was moving to Colorado and I went to one of my mentors and I said, I just really don't want to make a mistake here. I really just want to know this is God. And he said, Shalise, if you are doing, you know, the best that you can and you are following God to the best of your ability, guess what? His grace is made perfect in weakness. Like, he's got you covered. He knows your heart and he deals with the heart. He doesn't look at outward appearances. He looks upon the heart. So just stay in that heart to heart with him. And, you know, that's been the best advice that I've ever been given. I mean, we just need that intimacy with God. It's the point. It's the point of union. It's the point of marriage. It's the point of everything, is to know him and to be known, to be loved, and to live in a place of safety and security, not because of anything external, but because of who he is. So you can trust him to reveal the ways that you don't trust him. And you can trust him to heal the ways that you don't trust him. And he will do that as he leads you into all truth. And as you follow him step by step down the path that he is leading you down into living the good life that he prearranged and made ready for you to live. So I'll see you soon, beloved. And until then, you know what? Spend some time with Jesus. Just letting him love you and letting him just take all of those desires that you have and mold them in and to his and yours, and just experience this beautiful, intimate place where union-inspired desires arise. And then guess what? They come to pass. All right. Love you much. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Shalise's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life, and the purpose He created you for. Then visit us at Shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.